Well, hello everybody once again to the podcast. My name is Stephen Reed, part of the team here at Music and Ministry. And today we are continuing our discussion about leading the generations. And we've been talking kind of about who they are and want to walk through in the next following weeks just some tips and tricks in how to actually lead them. So today we're going to run through a few songs and we're going to talk about how we would connect generations. So let's jump into it. So as we continue our discussion here on leading worship for the generations, we're going to be talking about some more stuff that is found here in this book I wrote called Generational Worship, The Seed, the Soil, the Sun. And you can find this at Amazon or potentially at your local library online. You can listen to my sweet voice read it aloud to you. But we're going to cover some of the principles here because what most churches do pretty okay at is what I would call segmented ministry, where they're just reaching the young people or they're just reaching the seniors, and they've got children's church, nursery, they've got seniors group, they've got all the different groups, but again, they're segmented. And today what I'm going to talk about is, okay, how do we reach those people in the same service, or at least an expanded group of people within the same service, so that way people are enjoying it and we're having this community and this fellowship together amongst our generation. And so as we've identified what some of the generations are, we are sometimes looking for their differences just so we know how to give them what it is that they need that's unique to them. But we're also looking for those things that we have in common, that they are the same and they live in the same culture and we can connect around those things. And so if I was picking songs to lead for a multi-generational congregation or was trying to bring unity amongst that, which I often get asked to do, here are some things that I would consider. And the first is going to be thinking about, okay, what instrumentation am I going to use? And so one of the things that every generation has in common is that they like the acoustic guitar. Now, they don't necessarily prefer the acoustic guitar for everything. Most generations like the electric guitar, but they play that electric guitar sometimes in very different ways. And they all have liked the drums, but they might play those drums very differently. Whereas an acoustic guitar is played very similarly, you know, although in some cases maybe would have an extra set of strings on it and maybe have a chorus effect, but most people like the acoustic guitar. And so I would lead from an acoustic guitar. Also, potentially piano would be on the list as well. And so I'm also going to pick songs that I feel like have a universal message, and I'm going to also look for things in a way to connect a new song with an old song. And I feel like there's so much that needs to be taken into account in this area as far as choosing our songs based on our generational needs and then just the way that we would go about leading them. And I really do believe this, and I'll say it and I'll keep saying it and say it again until people believe me, but the days of just singing the song like the recording are basically over. Like, people don't have the capacity to grasp what it is that is on those songs. It's a different format designed for a different thing. And so when we do that, people can't participate, people aren't connected. And so I really do believe that we're in an age where we really need to be good at leading the people to worship. And unfortunately, that hasn't necessarily been a skill set that we've been developing over the last decade or so, because most people have been moving towards just playing it exactly like the recording, or in many cases, just playing the recording and hoping that people jump on. But for reasons that we will discuss in other episodes, it's just not going to go super well. Now, will it go well for some people? Absolutely. A certain percentage of your congregation will be able to jump in. They'll understand what it is they're singing. They're going to have a meaningful experience. But for the majority, the vast majority, I would say, of people, they don't have the ability or the capacity to be led or to participate in that manner. And so that all being said, when you cross that line into actually leading people, you have to be very careful about some things. You do have to be very careful about what it is you say, because if you talk too much, then your pastors are going to get upset. Certain generations aren't going to like it that much. And you have to make sure that you're not saying things that are offensive or divisive, or that, yeah, just linger too long in one particular thing without explanation. And so I'm going to talk through some things here as we go, and then I kind of want to model it for you as like how I would actually do it, because in the explaining, I'm going to be talking way too much to begin with. So one of the songs that I like right now is a song by Community Worship called Make Room, and it's you know, at this point, probably 8 to 10 years old in the sense of how new it is. And that's because songs, I live here in Nashville, and songs that are written today aren't going to get released or, you know, put out into the world probably for a year. It's going to take a while for those songs to become popular at some point. And so you have this delay of like when it was actually written to when it's actually out to when it then hits the mainstream and people would jump on and be like, oh, okay, I like that. And that's getting a little bit shorter as we live in our modern multimedia world. But there's certainly some aspect of that. So it's not like the most current song, but I would say that it's of all of the like pretty well-known and popular songs, that one would be one of them. And so I would sing the song. It's not that I wouldn't necessarily sing it first, but I potentially would. But this song ticks a lot of boxes just in the sense of it's accessible as being able to be sung. It has a message that's timeless and people connect with it partly from a generational standpoint. Some will do better than others. And then I'm going to connect that with then an older song that is basically the same message, but we're going to sing that song and we're going to do something that is very important, at least I feel like it is that we're going to sing both songs in the exact same style that they were intended. So there was a period of time where the Gen X generation wanted to modernize all of these older songs because there was a lot of division between the older people and the younger people. And so they would take a song and they would redo it to make it more current. And so my sweet and loving grandparents on my wife's side who were in their 80s complained to me about it. And they're like, it's our song, but it's your beat. And they did not like the updates. And I was like, we're working hard to update these songs so that way we're trying to do something that you like, only to find out that they didn't actually like that. So I do feel like it's important that when you sing an older song, that you should sing it like it was intended. And I'm not going to switch instruments potentially and play it on an organ for those that are in the radio generation. But most everybody who's essentially like 90 years old and down is okay with the acoustic guitar. And some of the 90-year-olds, my grandfather on my wife's side is just turned 90. And he was essentially like a Christian hippie and lived communally and loves the acoustic guitar. So that's the kind of thing that we're, again, trying to pull into and look for. It's like, okay, what do we have in common? Not necessarily the organ anymore. Acoustic guitar is going to be great all the way across the board. So again, I would start the song. I would not play any kind of intro. I would welcome everybody and I would give the Gen Zs something that they need right at the beginning, which is going to be some form of context and some way of making things relational. And so I would stand up in front, I would say, good morning, everybody. Hey, my name is Stephen Reed. I get to be your praise and worship leader this morning. Hope you guys are glad to be here. We're gonna sing some songs to the Lord, and I'm gonna lead you through some things I feel like he's shown me this week. And this song we've been singing quite a bit here at our church. And this morning I woke up and I just can't shake it. And I've just been thinking about God calling us to it being his service and not being about us. And so let's just right from the beginning, commit ourselves to doing what he has for us. All right, so that was be something when I said, and if I were to go back and edit it, which I am doing right now, I would cut out a couple of things just to make it shorter. But I definitely want to introduce myself because people want to trust me and know who I am because they're asking those questions anyway and aren't going to be as willing to participate until they know my name, why I'm here, and if potentially I'm a guest worship leader, where is their normal person? And then they need some sort of context. And for me to say something like, hey, this song's been stirring in me this week. It's really been challenging me, but I feel like this is important for us to commit our services to the Lord. Then people are like, okay, that's why I'm singing this song. Now, for a millennial who's very passion-driven and cause-driven, they're going to more easily jump into this idea of making room for the Lord and committing things to the Lord because that's kind of who they are as passionate people, whereas the Gen Zs, whereas the Alphas, aren't necessarily as quick to want to onboard to some of those ideas. So you kind of have to help them through that a little bit more, whereas before you could have just sang it and sang it with passion and they would be with you. All right, so I would also probably start on the chorus, and I would, so after I said that, I would immediately sing, so I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I'd say, come on, can you sing that with me? And I will make room for you to do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Oh, and I would say that's an easy song to sing, but kind of a challenge to do sometimes. And so we're going to sing these verses. It talks about just laying things down before the Lord. It goes like this. And this is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my... Come on, let's just sing that much again. Now, why do I have them sing that much again? Or start on the chorus. And the reason is that most people don't know this song. There's some of you that are listening right now that don't know this song. And I believe that we're in an age and a time where we have to lead every song basically assuming that people don't know the song. That the age of just like, oh, sing it and play it like the radio, it's basically done, because the modern person, the modern young person, they don't listen to Christian radio, and if they do listen even to Christian music, they're probably listening to their own playlist or some Spotify list or just some random algorithm that's playing them whatever it is would happen to be. And so there's not this like widespread understanding of like, oh, this song, and if I do this song, then people are going to jump in. And so we can't even necessarily rely upon history in the sense of, oh, we did this song last week, so let's just do it again. Everybody should know. Because the average person doesn't attend church every single week anymore. And so you kind of have to like realize and recognize some of those tendencies about us as humans in our modern society, and obviously specifically about which generation, what their habits would happen to be, will help you as well. But I pretty much don't want to, again, overdo it, but at the same time, if they're not going to get it, or if they're not going to absorb the message of what it is that we're doing, then all that we're doing is possibly frustrating them, or just having them like kind of like not know it, and maybe by the end sing it a little bit, but they're not necessarily worshiping. And so we have to go from this process of like, they don't know the song, to they're able to sing the song, to then they're actually able to worship to the song. And in the modern format of just doing each verse, doing the chorus, doing the verse, doing the chorus, doing the bridge, doing the chorus, maybe by the last time they have achieved singing, but very rarely are they achieving worship, nor are they necessarily even internalizing the message, because they're just learning the message or just hearing the words. And so, again, I would choose to do way less and do it to where it's impactful. And so that's why I would have them sing that first part again. And then I would say, after we sang just that much again, I would say, come on, the second part's the same melody. And not everybody knows what melody, so I would say, all right, so the next part, different words to say, or it's the same notes to sing, or I would just sing it if it like this is exactly the same. And so then I would have them sing it and be like, come on, let's lay down every lie and every doubt. And this is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Now, I could potentially go to the verse right here, and I probably would. But as I'm singing it right now, I feel like the Lord's saying, like, whoa, those are important words. Like, every lie and every doubt. And we live in a society right now that has at least probably, maybe there's the same amount of lies and doubt that's happening in the world, but we're certainly like, when I was younger, like you just didn't question the mainstream media as much. And so if it was in the paper, if it was on TV, then that's what happened. Nobody was like, oh, I don't think that actually is real. Whereas today we live in our AI generation, where last week a guy got swallowed whole by a whale, and there's a video of it on the internet. And everyone in my family is like, nah, that didn't actually happen. That's not real. And we're just like, what kind of world is it that we live in where that's the truth? And then it comes to find out, you know, like maybe that won't be true, but there's lots of stuff that we thought was real and was like a big deal has turned out to be a lie. And so it's just created this whole like generation of doubt of being like, can we trust you? And the answer to some of it is no. And so we're all trying to recalibrate where it is and what we can trust in. And so I feel like from a generational standpoint, that that's something that we could stay on and maybe actually like take care of some business in that. And so again, I'm talking way too much more than I would. I would not explain it at that level. But I would say something like, man, it just seems like we got a lot of lies and a lot of doubt that we gotta lay down before the Lord. So let's just sing that again and say, and this is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. This is, come on, let's just sing that again. And this is where I lay, every lie and every doubt, every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. Come on, and it's gonna be a surrender. It means something we're gonna have to lay down. So let's make room, come on, sing it. So I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. Now here I would probably go back and sing the verses, and then again I'm looking for a spark of, is the Lord breathing on this particular thing? But I would be like, come on, let's just sing it again. And we would go back, we would sing the verses, and then we'd sing the chorus again. And I would do potentially less talking unless I really felt like the Lord was like, hey, sing that again, you need to stay on this for a moment. And so then there's the bridge. And it's not that I don't like the bridge or wouldn't modify the bridge in some way to make it make more sense to what it is that we're doing in the moment. But it's rare that you find a song where the whole song makes sense and that it really like builds and adds, and that there's not going to be like an additional message or an additional idea that's going to be difficult to assimilate into what it is that you're doing. And so I would say in general, like you have to keep in mind, like how many messages am I asking people to retain? Because if each song has multiple messages within them, and so the verse is one message, the chorus is a different message, the verse two is a different message than verse one, and then you've got the chorus again, and then you've got the bridge, which is another message, and then you come back to the chorus. Well, that song just has four messages, and then you've got potentially three or four songs, and then you have the actual message, and then you have then the takeaway song or whatever it is that you do at the end of your services. It can be to the point where you're just like stuffing so much in that people aren't necessarily walking away with like, okay, what am I supposed to do right now? Or how, what am I? And so this is where then I would switch to the other song that is the same message. It's just in a different format or an older way of saying the same thing. So if I was trying to connect the generations, which in this example I am, I would use this phrase, and I use it quite a bit. I say, you know, we used to sing the same song a different way, and would then go into it. And it's a little bit of a meter change, a little bit of a tempo change, but I'm going to do it in the same key because I'm actually going to sing the song, and then we're going to go back to the other song again to connect generationally. And then also just to like help people know like, hey, these new songs, it's the same stuff. It's the same message. You can trust it. It just says it a little differently, and people, oh, okay, I get it. And then you'll hear this older generation that will instantly participate. And like, I know that they'll jump in, but then there's also the younger generation that this is probably the first time that they've ever heard this song. And so I have to also keep that in mind. And we're connecting this like sacred experience that a lot of people have with it into this newer sacred experience that a lot of younger people have with these songs. So then I would say, oh, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, all to thee. I would potentially have everybody sing that again. But their song is very challenging. And so I would want to say something about how challenging it is, but I also want to connect for the Gen Zers to an older experience of this and say something like, you know, I've sang this song probably 100 times or more, and it's very challenging to sing this because I've served the Lord, I've walked with him for a long time, and every time I sing it, I feel like the Lord's asked me for something else. And that's the way it works, is that God, you'll give him your all, and it's all that you know how to give him, and then he'll come back next week or the next time you sing it, and he'll be like, hey, what about this? So we're going to sing this one more time, probably a few more times, and I want you to sing it to him, but I also want you to listen and hear if he asks you for something. And it may be something simple like your time or your schedule or something, but it's your opportunity to lay it down to give it to him. So let's sing it. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And then maybe sing it again, maybe not sing it again. And then at some point, it's going to seem good to go back then to the other song. And we'll go, and I won't say much about it, but then we would just go. Because I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. So Lord, I make room for you. Do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Whoa. And at that point, if I wanted to go back into the other song, I could go back to the other song. But we're really just looking for, okay, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? And potentially, maybe that's the end of the service. Maybe we've gotten where we need to spiritually, and it's time to move on to the next thing. But again, what I'm trying to do is guide people through that in a way that makes sense, that we can align our interests, and that we all like the acoustic guitar. We all like the presence of the Lord, and we all need something. Some of those things are different. And so I'm telling a story to the Gen Z. I'm making it relational, why I feel like this is important. I tell the story about how this song is challenging to me and what to look for. And then I'm also giving some instruction in the sense of Gen Alpha. They definitely like it when somebody who knows what they're doing is up on stage and does not have as much of the production. They're not as impressed by that. It doesn't move them. They don't necessarily think it's cool because it's always been that way, or it just starts to look like the world. And so I would choose how I would dress. I would choose how I would talk to try and, again, appeal to all of those generations in these little moments. But I'm looking to connect them, and I'm trying to take an older song that would be very well known amongst the older generations and connect it to, hey, this is the newer song. And then I'm also trying to connect the faith of the young people to the faith of the old people and be like, whoa, like this has stood the test of time. It makes sense, which is definitely Gen Z likes things that are older, that have had meaning, that are like have time and tested and have stood the test of time. And so all of that is kind of like going around in my brain in the sense of like, not overthinking it, but at the same time, looking for those opportunities, and then having some experience in doing it and it going well, I know that it's well worth it. And that at the end of it, people aren't going to be like, oh, we didn't do the whole song, or I really like the bridge and we didn't get the. And again, as I say a lot, whenever the presence of the Lord is there, nobody cares about all those other details that they do care quite a bit about when it's just seemingly dead. And then you're like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why are you wearing what you're wearing? Let's do something else. All right. So I'm going to give you some more of these here in the coming weeks, things that I do, things I think about, and hope that they will be a blessing to you. If there's anything that we can do in the meantime, feel free to contact us. You can find us over at musicandministry.co. I hope you have a fantastic week, and until next time, God bless.